Welcome back to another edition of MMA Rated Radio. I'm Ariel Helwani, and as everyone knows by now, Ultimate Fight Night 14 is littered with up-and-coming MMA stars, one of which includes Johnny Rees, a 10-0 fighter who's facing Nate Lochran on the 19th. And here to talk to us about his UFC debut is Mr. Johnny Rees himself. Johnny, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
I'm doing very well, and it's great to be talking with you for the first time. Like I said, you are making your UFC debut after going 10-0, fighting mostly in Indianapolis. First, I'm curious, because a lot of people, you know, like I said, this card is filtered with a lot of up-and-coming stars, a lot of people we've heard about but haven't had a chance to see on a mainstream level, especially in the UFC. When and where did you first find out that you were fighting on this Ultimate Fight Night 14 card?
I actually found out, about 2 weeks ago. I think it was Thursday. I think it was like the 19th, actually about a month out. So my manager called me and told me they had an opportunity for me, and I told them, let's do it.
Yeah,
well, I'm in.
It's pretty short, you know, it's a pretty short time to get ready. Were you in fairly good shape when you got the call?
Yeah, I had been training. I actually had a fight in August that I've been training for, so I've been training, you know, for about 5 or 6 weeks,
now,
pretty hard.
So then what happens to your fight in August? Is it scrapped now?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, I went ahead and canceled that.
Yeah, once you get the UFC call, you pretty much scrap all other appointments,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, everything's on the back burner after that.
Obviously you're 10-0 and you're definitely rising up. I mean, you're finishing guys, you're very impressively. I mean, most of your fights don't even make it past the first round. That said, were you surprised that you got the call now?
No, I've actually, my manager's been talking to the UFC for the last, it's been about a year, and I actually had several different opportunities before this that people would get hurt or I was supposed to fight Patrick Cote at one point. He ended up taking another fight with someone else, and they called me a couple times to fight John Fitch and Diego Sanchez on 2-3 weeks' notice, and I told them, you know, absolutely not. So, you know, I knew the time was coming, and I was just pretty much waiting for it.
Which Cote fight was that supposed to be? Do you remember? Like, how long ago was that?
It was the one that was supposed to be in Canada.
Oh, UFC 83.
83, exactly. Yep.
So they've been knocking at your door for a while.
Yep, I'd say for the last about 6-7 months.
All right, well, Cote's a middleweight. Fitch and Sanchez are welterweights. So do they?
Mm-hmm.
Are they just, you know, trying to plug you in at any chance they get?
Yeah, my manager, I told him, you know, if the fight was right, I'd go down to 170. I told him, you know, pretty much either way. He called me, like I said, on 2 weeks' notice. I told him there's no way I could get down to that weight, you know, in 2 weeks. And there's no way I'd really, you know, want to fight somebody that's like John Fitch, possibly the best, you know, welterweight in the world right now, you know, between him and GSP. I told him that this, you know, it was too quick. If I went to 170, I'd have to know at least, you know, 6 to 8 weeks out so I could, you know, start cutting weight the right way.
And what about the Cote fight? Why did that one not happen?
Cote, he said he was he was gonna fight on that card, and then I think he either got hurt or I know he said that he wanted to do the announcing that night. So
So this was before this is all before he slipped and fell supposedly, right?
Before he did what now?
Apparently he slipped on some ice, and that's why he didn't.
Yeah, exactly. This was before then. Yeah,
okay.
It wasn't a, you know, a done deal or anything like that. They threw it out there. I told them, yeah, let's do it, and they were still in negotiations with him.
Is it tough in your mind? You know, obviously sometimes you see fighters who will take a fight on short notice because I guess you could say that they're a little afraid that if they turn down the opportunity, they might never get it again. Is it a hard thing to do? Because you obviously want to put your best foot forward and make the best impression when you get that first shot. But at the same time, you know, if you're not ready, you're not ready.
Yeah, I mean, with the Fitch fight and the Diego fight, you know, I told them just, you know, 2 weeks' notice. If they get mad or something, turning a fight down like that, then, you know, so be it. I'm not going to go out and, you know, when I'm, one, haven't been trained, and two, you have to cut my ass off losing weight, you know, and damn near kill myself. You know, I'm not gonna do all that to go in and fight somebody that's possibly the best fighter, one of the best fighters in the world.
Yeah, so. And apparently it all worked out for you, because here you are, you're getting a chance to fight on a huge show. I mean, this is kind of a historic night, you know, in the history of mixed martial arts, because you have the UFC putting this card together to, you know, go up against Affliction. What are your thoughts on that whole situation with them putting this card at the last second to counter that pay-per-view?
I mean, to be honest, man, I think it's brilliant, really. I mean, if you think about it, if you got the money and the power to do it, you know, and you know they're probably the UFC's number one competition, you know, they waited and waited and waited, and kind of a little sneak attack, but, I mean, it is what it is. I think it's pretty smart business.
Yeah, and at least, I mean, I thought that they didn't really have to do it, just because I don't know how many people are going to want to pay $50 for the Affliction show, but at least you're guaranteeing that this might be, you know, a night where there'll be a hell of a lot of people watching MMA, whether it's, you know, on pay-per-view or not. Have they told you, you know, in terms of where you'll be fighting on the card? I mean, are you going to be fighting possibly on the televised portion or on the preliminary bouts?
It's going to be a preliminary bout.
All right, so in your mind, are you really, like, you know, you want to get on TV and get the most eyeballs possible. Does that kind of play tricks on you where you'll try to have to sort of press the issue to make a splash, so to speak?
Oh, of course. Of course. I'm going to try everything I can to end it as quick as possible in a brutally fashion.
Nice. I appreciate you saying that, because a lot of guys will say, you know, oh, no, you know, I'm not going to try to change anything. For people that don't, you know, that don't know you or haven't had a chance to see you, quickly describe to me what kind of style do you have in there in the cage or ring?
Well, I think 8 of my 10 wins are submission wins.
Yeah, right.
But I wouldn't necessarily say that I'm a ground guy, you know. I love to stand and trade and bang, but just most of my opponents in the past are just scared to stand with me. So, you know, we usually end up on the ground pretty quick.
That's pretty amazing. I never heard a guy with, you know, 80% of his wins being of submission and saying that he's a, you know, striker.
Yeah, it's the truth.
All right, and what do you know about your opponent, Nate Loughran? Also, you know, enjoying a pretty nice run in MMA right now.
I think he's probably pretty good on the ground. He's, you know, 8-0, 7 of his 8 wins are submissions. I know he's beat a couple tough guys in his last couple fights. So, you know, if we go to the ground, we go to the ground. If I'd like to stand and bang it out with him, to be honest. So, if we go to the ground, we go to the ground, and we play the ground game. So, I'm ready for whatever he's got to bring.
He's a Palace Fighting Champion, you know, Palace Fighting Championship champion, I guess you can say. Have you had a chance to watch some tape on him?
I haven't. My manager's actually in the process of, you know, trying to get me some film right now.
Is that enough time for you, like, to, you know, 2 weeks to study up on a guy? Do you like to have a little more time to study on a guy?
I mean, I'd like to have more time, but, you know, I've just kind of been sitting back waiting for him to get it for me. So, you know, as quick as possible.
Yeah, Ken, hurry up with the tapes, all right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Let me quickly ask you, the Legends of Fighting show, we've heard a lot about it, based out of Indiana. Obviously, when you're fighting in the UFC, it's a whole different beast. Are you going to be, you know, we heard it even from, you know, Amir Sadala, like you walk into that live crowd for the first time and it's a whole different ball game. Are you prepared for what's going to come to you, you know, at the weigh-ins, at the event on the 19th, all the hoopla that surrounds a UFC event?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I couldn't tell you if I'm going to be prepared or not. I hope I'm prepared. I've cornered, you know, Jake O'Brien, which is a good friend of mine, and Chris Lytle several times. So I've been to the weigh-ins, I've been to the fights, you know, I've been up close to the action several times. So, you know, hopefully with that, you know, it'll prepare me a little more than, you know, just coming into it fresh.
So this is actually pretty special for you, since Jake is also fighting on the card and kind of making his debut. He didn't really go very far, but I mean, not debut. He's returning to the UFC.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
That was a pretty weird situation, right?
Very weird. Very. I mean, you come in, you go 3-0, you beat Heath Herring, you get injured, you know, have a neck surgery, come back 10 months later, fight, you know, top three best heavyweights in the world, you get beat and you get released. So it was pretty shocking.
Did that sort of sour you on the whole UFC, you know, goal in your mind?
You know, I wouldn't say sour me. It just kind of disappointed me. You know, I was, I think Jake's got all the tools, you know, he needs to be a heavyweight champion one day. He has trouble sometimes in the cage just letting it all hang out. So I think this fight after this fight, I think a lot of people are going to look differently after him. You know, he's planning on leaving it all out there this time. So
yeah,
it ought to be fun.
Yeah, against Cain Velasquez, a very tough and up-and-coming heavyweight. So Johnny, you said that you don't want to be, you know, spending time on the ground. Is this one going to make it past the first round?
Well, I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't, you know. If like I said, if he wants to stand, we can stand. If he wants to go to the ground, we can go to the ground. Either way is fine with me. So, I mean, you know, with his background, and I know a lot of his fights are first round wins. I don't know, probably 5 or 6 of his 8 victories are first round, and I think 6 of my 8 are first. Six or seven of my 10 are first round submissions. So, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. If we go to the ground, it could be real quick.
Well, you know what they say, at some point the O has got to go, and for one of you, you will be leaving undefeated. Another one's going to be experiencing his first loss on a pretty big stage, but it's going to be a great fight. 2 up-and-comers, 2 undefeated fighters, and it's July 19th, Ultimate Fight Night 14. Johnny, best of luck to you in your UFC debut in a couple of weeks, and we wish you continued success along the way.
I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.